morning blog radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. The Men's Edition. Good morning. It's October 28th, 2019. Bobby, what's going on?
How you doing, Eddie?
Good, yeah.
Woo! Long time no see.
Yeah, all right.
We were so here last week.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. But I saw you at the Fall Festival in church yesterday. Good morning. Yeah. So, again, it's Monday, and it's starting to cool off now in Texas. I'm sure it's very cool everywhere. I know it's cooler in New York and, probably Chicago. But,
Chicago.
I don't know what the temperature is in Islamabad or Iraq, but I'm sure it's a lot warmer. But anyway, thank you for tuning in. And today we're going to get into part two of How Deep Are Your Roots? Part two. We started last week when I had my special guest Ron Monroe, which is coming in on starting next week Saturday. He'll start doing his show at what, 10 a.m.? Yeah, all right. Ron Monroe, I don't know the name of the show, but tune in on Saturdays. You'll find out.
It's Coffee with Ron.
Coffee.
Yeah.
All right, come on.
Ron, if you're watching, sorry.
Coffee Talk. Yeah, we're doing coffee. Coffee and donuts.
I like that.
All right. Yeah. Whatever, coffee.
Hey, donuts. Russell. That's my buddy Russell. He's really family.
Oh, good. Good morning, and thanks for tuning in. Facebook got pictures now. It's people on the train. But anyway, we started last week with a little bit on getting rooted. I wanted to finish up a lot of stuff we didn't follow. I didn't get through, and I wanted to continue this week about it. So you might have missed a little last week, but we're going to recap it a little bit. I think it's a critical message.
Oh, yeah.
Being rooted.
You got to be rooted.
I mean, it's very, very
rooted.
Very
rooted.
Yeah. Oh, you're grounded, rooted. You've got to be on the rock, get out of the mud.
Yeah. And rooted and grounded is really, it means that the root, your roots go deep. So you're stable, and then that solid foundation. Now, Jesus said the storms are coming. But when you're rooted and grounded, you're just going to stand right up. Yeah.
Good morning, Tony Floyd. Yeah, I mean, we saw the storms. We just had a little incident here in Dallas, and I happened to be down there. The part of town in Dallas, Prestonwood, Hollow, and I didn't know the name of other city that lived in. But anyway, there was a lot of
Highland Park.
Yeah, Highland Park.
Yeah.
There was a lot of million-dollar homes. One of the more affluent areas in Dallas, and there's a lot of trees uprooted. It looked like a bomb zone. I never seen anything quite like it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, it's just. And the event though, tell us where you call watch it from. I think you're somewhere in the Middle East. But so I seen it, and people. The good thing is that they had a choice. it's one of those places where the lady was walking a dog in high heels over the bushes and the trees. And so I said, man, how about Jesus? She said, I gotta go. Yeah, so yeah, she was
my brother-in-law, John. Hey, what's up, John? I love you, brother.
Yeah. They go, Jesus, where's my adjuster? My shorts adjuster. That's what they're asking. But, good morning to Molly McBride. But anyway, so here's the thing. And salvation is not like fire insurance. Let's get it straight.
Well, a lot of people think it is.
Yeah.
But
it's not.
No, not at all.
Yeah, we need to look at. And if you come to Jesus just so you can be saved and go to heaven.
It's like Pastor Eric was talking about yesterday. Jesus made a public spectacle out of the devil. The devil is under our feet. We're not here just to get by. We're here to take over. But we have to be rooted and grounded in order to do that.
That's what it is. That comes with maturity. And that's when you get that root into the ground, that deep root, that know you understand it. God created us, like it says in Genesis 1, verse 26, that we have to subdue, be fruitful, multiply, and dominion. Nothing's changed. God still wants us to do all these things, but absolutely be fruitful. We have dominion in Christ Jesus. We're more than overcomers. So when a lot of us are out there saying, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm blessed just to be alive. God rescued me from my alcohol addiction, my drug addiction. And now you're going to sit around and, just go to church every couple of Sundays, as long as the job, you know, the highway's on plan.
Oh, okay.
So just know that, no, we need warriors. We don't need people that are stuck in boot camp going over and over and over the same elementary principles of the gospel. We need people that are deeply rooted, that are out there understanding the promises of God, digging in deeper, standing in the gap, taking from the heavens, bringing it to the earth. As it says, as my will is done in heaven as on earth. Come on, bring it. We need to, again, it doesn't happen in overnight. It's not just, you know, something you read in the course book. You know, no, this is something that takes time. We're going to discuss that today, so stay tuned, man. We're going to go into it. You want to pray again, Pastor Bob?
Yeah, definitely. Father, thank you for this time. We get to come together again, Ooh. Lord, and just to share your word, Father. It's your word. It's a gospel. That's a power of God unto salvation, mm-hmm. Father. And we just want to get our opinions out of the way and let your word go forth. Your word will not return void. And we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak through us with your words, with power, love, and a sound mind. And I pray that anybody out there watching and anybody out there listening on blog radio, mm-hmm. that your word just hammers through the heart, Lord. It just chisels on our hearts,
yeah.
not their hearts, our hearts.
Yes.
And have our hearts to be soft and pliable to receive with meekness your implanted word. And we thank you and we love you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. Good morning. All right. Now we're ready to go. All right. So here it is. Stay rooted. How deep are your roots? And this is not a question I'm asking you. I don't care. That's not for you to answer me. It's for you to ask yourself and figure out for yourself, because that's what it's all about. You need to understand. Good morning, Henry. Good morning, Angel. What's up? We need to know how deep are your roots. That's what you have to ask yourself. And that's what I ask myself on a frequent basis. I'm like, man, you know, I don't say how deep is living roots, Eddie, how deep are your roots. I consider where I'm at in the kingdom and where I'm walking. Good
morning. Well, if you think about Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote over half the New Testament.
Yeah, he did.
He said that I examine myself so that after I preach, that I'm not disqualified. And so
right.
we have to look in the mirror. You know, I love what Pastor Reed from Hutchins says, you know, he says, don't look out the window, but look in the mirror.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
well, yeah, if you stop looking in the mirror, forget what you look like.
That's right.
Look at
the perfect law.
So, yeah, we're responsible for others, you know, to help a brother or sister out, but we better take care of ourselves first.
Yeah.
We need to pull the log out of our eye before we start talking about that step. So here we go. But now we're going to have to be, it's always a juggling act. We're looking after ourselves, but we're also watching our brother, right, and our sister. So here's what it says. I'm going to just recap, because last week we got into this, and I just want to open up with this, because it's important that we understand this. So no matter where you are, we need to know that there's more. There's always going to be more. There's always going to be more. Okay, just like you have to eat 2-3 times a day, so the day you die, or Jesus comes back, whatever comes first. The same thing with the gospel and the things of God. We have to constantly be, every day, I don't care if you're 99, Billy Graham, I'm sure, when he was 99 years old, still be yourself, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Learn something before his last breath, You're always learning.
Yeah.
So here's what it tells us in Christ, we're just going to cap this up. And now as you just accepted Christ Jesus, your Lord, you must continue to follow him. So see, it says, now that you accepted Christ, your Lord, you must continue to follow him. So what this implies to me is that, we accept Christ as Lord, but then we put him up on the shelf, okay? We say a prayer, and we feel a little tingle, and somebody gives us a bracelet in the Bible, and now we think we're done. No, that's the beginning, okay? And here's what it says in the next verse. Let your roots grow down into him, so your lives may be built on him. Him being Jesus Christ, the foundation. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you overflow with thankfulness, okay? So there it is. Let your roots grow deep into him, okay? Now that you accepted Christ, continue to follow. So now, as you accepted Christ, keep moving forward, right?
Well, and what it's saying, right, like I have the New King James Version, it says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him.
Yeah.
And rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. So as we receive Christ, how do we receive Christ? By faith.
Yeah,
we receive Christ by faith, so the only way that we can walk in him is by faith.
Amen.
So we have to do it the same way. It says, as you receive Christ, walk in him.
Yeah, continue.
By faith.
Good morning, Michael Leahy.
I was looking up that word rooted, and it means established and stable.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, I was when I was in my early 20s, I worked for my brother-in-law's brother, and he had a landscape company. We had greenhouses, and we would, in the wintertime, we would stick cuttings is what it was. We trimmed the shrubs, and the cuttings that we had off those shrubs, we put them in 4-inch pots with soil.
Yeah.
And then whenever those 4-inch pots would root in, then we'd pull them out and put them in 5-gallon or you know, 1-gallon buckets.
Yeah.
Then when they rooted in, we put them in 5-gallon buckets.
Yes,
But the thing is, if you pulled them out too soon, they would crumble. They'd fall apart. And that's what happens when we're not rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. When we're getting pulled on and we're getting crushed and you know, just pressured. You know, Jesus said, "In this life you will have tribulation, but He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world because in Him we have peace." So when we're rooted in Him, then when we're getting pulled and all that, we're not going to fall apart like a $2 suitcase.
Yeah, so we need to know this. And just as you accept Christ, if you are claim Christ as your Lord, Jesus as your Lord, and Savior and Lord, we need to continue to follow Him. You know, sometimes I keep saying, you know, people saying, you got to blow the dust off the Bible and all that stuff. The Bible should be always there. It's your resource. I mean, it's better than the first aid kit. Better than
it's our spiritual food.
You better get with it. Yeah. So just keep growing, because then your faith will grow strong in the truth.
Yeah.
Because here's the problem: people are going to try to deceive you, and you're going to hear some junk on the TV, you're going to hear some junk on the radio, or you're going to hear some junk from people trying to tell you something. We need to understand that there's people out there trying to deceive you. The devil's going to try to deceive you. So don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies that says and high sounding nonsense from human thinking. We need to know that. We're responsible. We're responsible to work out our own salvation. All right? So we need to do it. So we stay rooted in the Word. That's important. We come to Christ, continue to follow Him. And, and the reason why I'm going to say this, because we'll recap this, we talked about this last week, was in Hebrews it tells us 5, verse 12, because now that you've been believing so long, now that you ought to be teaching others instead, you need someone to teach you again the basics about God's Word. So here it is. Remember, you come to Christ, continue to follow Him, or what the New King James Version, continue to grow in Him, right? Okay, so now, you've been believing so long, some of us have been believing so long that we need to be teaching others, but we need someone to teach us again. So here it is. The teaching the others is here it is. Teaching. What do you do when you teach? You lead. So we need to be leading others. God is calling us all to do something. So, you know, we need to really be responsible for ourselves. But then once we get a hold of it, we're supposed to teach others, you know?
Yeah.
Don't be like babies, because here it says, you're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. Because for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know what to do, know how to do what is right. Solid food is for the mature who, through training, have skills to recognize the difference between right and wrong. That word mature, helios, in the Greek means qualified. That we be qualified, all right? A baby's not qualified to eat a steak until he's got his teeth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So get it right.
You know, it's like we were talking about when we're saved. We're not saved just to get by. You know, we're saved. Jesus said, "Freely you have received, freely give." And you can't give away what you don't have. I mean, there's so many Christians that have been going to church for 10, 20, 30 plus years, and they're still on the bottle. And so what happens is that the church is malnourished. And there's no power.
Come on.
Because the Christians that have been there for a while, instead of handing the bottle off to the new believers who need the milk, the Bible says to desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby.
Right.
And so the thing about it is you've got so many, you know, people that have been going to church for 10, 20, 30 years still on the milk of the Word instead of on the meat. You got to get on the meat. We need disciple makers. And you know, the Bible says that by reason of use, in the New King James, it says that, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, which is mature.
Yeah.
That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And you know, the devil's been trying to infiltrate the church since the beginning of time.
Yeah,
and Malachi says, in the last days, you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not. We, as believers, need to discern when we have a false prophet coming in trying to tear up the church, we need to understand. Because there are times when you have someone who just doesn't know, and we kick them out of the church, and really they are believers, they were just immature. So we need to discern between good and evil, between the righteous and the wicked. And we know that by reason of use.
Right.
And just like you said, Eddie, it's the Bible. The Word of God is what we, He gives us all things.
He's been there. And, like you said, the people that want to teach you the wrong stuff. And it's a very subtle, it's not like, we know that you're not supposed to go to the clubs and do a Bible study and stuff like that, or the bars and do Bible. We know all that. That's elementary. But the next level, the devil tried to take you down with sly. He tried to disguise himself. It's a half truth, a little bit of truth. So here's, and it's not how much we learn right away. The most important thing for me when I first came through is what I had to forget, okay? Because you have to clear your mind. It's like the heart is storage, like a storage unit, all right? You better start, it's packed. So before you bring more stuff in, you better clear some stuff out.
Right.
You better clean out that sock drawer from the old socks to put the new socks in, right? The new wineskin, the new wineskin. So we need to constantly forget. I had to forget a lot of things. Of my habits, my ways, I had to start canceling, taking things captive, taking them captive, canceling it, and casting it out.
And you know, even people who have been going to church from a child, you know, they've learned so many things from the church that aren't really biblical. I mean, just like you said, I'm an old sinner saved by grace. No, if you were saved by grace, you're not an old sinner anymore. You're a brand new creation. You know, I remember when I was in my early 20s, I was looking for a job, and I was looking in the newspaper, and I saw a new car dealership that was hiring salesmen.
Oh, yeah.
And I called them up, and I just told them, I said, I don't have any experience. And the guy told me, good, now we don't have to unlearn that.
Well, I know that. We used to do the same thing on Wall Street. Like, oh, you got bad habits. We wouldn't hire people from certain companies, so we knew they were trained a certain way. We didn't like that. So, yeah, it's really about, again, we have to really forget a lot of things. We have to change a lot of habits. Oh, it's so important, especially in the first years, really critical, that you come to the Lord. Now, you know, we might have been, new with Jesus, but now we just want to serve Him. We got to start changing it, because here it is, the basic truths. You were believers, but you ought to be teaching others or leading others. Okay, once we become Christ, there's somebody out there we need to lead.
Yes.
It may not be the guy who's been preaching at the pulpit for 30 years. No, we don't need him. He needs us. But there's someone that didn't even know Christ that you might have been saved for 5 minutes that you could really help somebody. So know this. You're always going to be leading, and you're always going to be led. So it's like a chain. We're Christians. We're working together. So we need to know that. And
it's like they're saying that everyone needs a Paul and everyone needs a Timothy.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, look, here's the thing.
Everyone needs a Silas as well.
You know, what it says here also is that we're not to move away from the basics, but we're supposed to move beyond them. Like, you know, once we learn certain, you know, things, we need to go further. We got to go further. That's what the most important thing is.
You got to blow your mind what the basics are.
Yeah. Well, Hebrews, remember, Hebrews 5:12 was recapping. Now, again, we're talking about getting rooted, and that's probably, you could go into the next one, and then we'll go to the other one from there. But Psalm 1. So, remember, we're going to stay rooted. We have to move, keep moving.
That's right.
Keep moving. We sit still. What do you say, a rolling stone gets no moss?
Rooted and grounded on the lead of the word, then we're not going to follow every wind and doctrine.
Yeah.
And we'll know, you know, the Bible says that there's a safety in the multitude of counselors. And so we'll also discern who we need to be listening to and who we don't.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
You know what I'm saying? Like in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners,
woo,
nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night.
Yeah.
He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. And then the ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It says that the ungodly shall not stand. I remember one time, and I might have told this here, but I drove up to the church on a Saturday morning for the men's breakfast we were having. And there was a big storm the night before, and it had blown a big tree over. And, you know, I drove up, and I was sitting there looking at that tree thinking how we're going to get rid of it. And the Lord said, look around at the other trees. And so I looked around at these other trees that were standing, and he said they were in the same storm.
Come on now.
So when we're rooted and grounded, you know, the storms are going to come. It doesn't matter, man. It's like my grandson, when he was 2 years old, we found out he was going to have brain surgery. And my son-in-law got saved 2 months before that. And he'll tell you to this day, my grandson ended up having 20-something brain surgeries. But my son-in-law will tell you that he just thanks God that he was born again before all that happened, because he don't know how he would have done it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm telling you, him and my daughter, they just walked through that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you never would have known, because they were rooted and grounded.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You know, Jesus said the tribulations, you will have tribulations.
Yeah.
But what happens is, it's like we were at the park on Saturday, and you know, when I was preaching the gospel, Laura and I, and I was telling them that these gifts that we're giving away, we're giving away bicycles, TVs, scooters, all this stuff, and those gifts are cool, you know, that's awesome, but those gifts don't mean nothing when the doctor said it's cancer. They don't mean nothing when your child is bound up in alcohol and drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't mean nothing when your 2-year-old grandson has to have brain surgery.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm telling you, the peace that surpasses all understanding means everything.
Yeah, yeah,
but you've got to be rooted and grounded.
Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah.
Well, Angela Carpenter says, entertainment in the church and a lot of false prophets and doctrine. That's what it's all about, Angela. That you need to stay rooted. And if we're rooted, you're going to weed out. Okay, we're going to weed out those weeds.
You will
weeds.
Be able to discern between the
weeds. Yeah, we'll get those weeds before they get a root in our church. And that's the thing, we need to be careful. God will appoint certain people. We're not supposed to be the you know, the popularity contest, right? The nicest shirt on Sunday morning. Shirt on Sunday morning. This ain't a popularity contest. This ain't who got more words than the next one. This ain't all about the who's the holiest roller.
Come on now,
get real. It's about who's the humblest, all right? That's who wins. All right, so here it is. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counterfeit. Anytime it says blessed is the man or blessed is, you better pay attention, because we're talking about a blessing from God. So we don't need to stand in the counter of the ungodly. Who's the ungodly? They don't come wearing a cape and a pitchfork saying, I'm the devil, I'm ungodly, I'm going to give you some counsel. No. It might even be your own mama or your brother. Who knows? It could be your pastor. Who knows? See, here's the thing. We need to always be on God. We need to trust in people, but trust in God first. We'll get into that later. But don't even do that. See, here it is. He who meditates, right? This is what he meditates day and night. See, guess what? It says day and night. This is a, 5 minutes in the morning, 12 minutes at night, and just watch a Facebook clip at lunch. No. This says meditate day and night, that you will bring forth the fruit. Here it is. He shall be like a tree planted in the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. So here it is. What kind of fruit are you bearing? Are you bearing any at all? Okay, is your fruit in season? I mean, come on now. We need to get real about this. And whatever he does shall prosper. That's a bold promise. So here it is. If you're not working, the thing that, you know, you might be sitting in church for a while, you feel like you're drying up. I don't know. I'm not, you know, the thing is, you got to check yourself. Are you being fed? Your roots getting nourished? Because guess what? The roots, the deeper the roots, the deeper, because the water on top of the surface dries real quick. So after raining, you got about the first 6 inches, the shallow roots will suck that all up. But the days go by, a week goes by without rain, that drop layer, that top layer is already dried, right? But guess what? The one with the deeper roots that goes down a foot or two, it's still moist down there. Guess what? The sun hadn't dried it up yet, so they're still going to be drawn from the moisture and the nutrients of the dirt down as your roots are deeper. So that's the way it is.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I remember back in 1980, we had a real hard freeze. Yeah, I'm not old.
I was around, but I was in New York. Go ahead.
My brother-in-law had St. Augustine grass, and that winter we had several days of hard freeze.
Yeah. And then when springtime came, everyone's St. Augustine grass was all dead, but my brother-in-law's grass was lush and beautiful. And to find out, what he did was he watered the roots in before the freeze. And the roots and that water, it went down deep, like you're talking about. He watered those roots in, and his grass came back beautiful. And so this is a lesson, and if you want to, you know, if there's going to be a hard freeze, water your grass before the freeze. And the same thing with this, get rooted before the storm.
Whoa.
Don't wait until the storm comes, and your grass is going to die. You're going to wither.
Right.
See, you do it before.
Too much of a good thing is no good or whatever. I'm gonna tell you one thing. You're never gonna get too much of that. Some people say, "Oh, you too heavenly minded, you don't earthly good." I tell you, that's a lie from the devil. And you kick him right in the teeth, man. When you hear that one, tell you just shut up. Seriously, because here it is. You can never be too heavenly minded. It says, "Set your mind on things above." Okay, you could be so. Tell that to Jesus. You think Jesus was too heavenly minded? He was no earthly good. He was so heavenly minded. Everyone that got within him, women are touching his garment to get healed. Yeah. Demons are cast out of the face, jumping off the wall. Don't even think that for a minute. God bless us if we're heavenly minded.
Yeah. If we're not heavenly minded, we're no earthly good.
So
we want to prosper, okay? It's real simple. If you want to prosper, this is the word that will help you prosper. The word of God is there to help you prosper. Don't fall short, because if you fall short, because you're not studying. Okay. Yeah, so get it right, everyone watching. Get in the word of God and find out how deep are your roots, right? I'm not here to point a finger, even though I'm pointing a finger. No, I'm not. This is a question you have to ask yourself. Do you really want to improve? Do you want to continue to keep following Jesus? Do you want to be in the counsel of the godly, not the ungodly? These are things we got to ask ourselves. So we need to really move forward. I think you might have said it more than once. If you stay still, you're falling back. I think that's what Spencer said. If you're standing still, you backslid.
Yeah, there you go.
Christianity is not standing still. It's moving forward.
Yeah.
From glory to glory and faith to faith. Not backwards, not standing still.
All right, we need to get it right, people. I know I had to get it right. I looked at myself in the mirror, and I got tired of looking out the window. And I looked in the mirror, and I said, ooh, man. I got a 5 o'clock shadow. I need a haircut. But who am I on the inside? What's my heart? You know, tick, tick, tick. We don't need to go up to the hospital to get a cardiologist for a stress gram. We know our heart, because it's in the Bible. We'll be able to, God will reveal through his word the things in the heart. Remember, I told what I said earlier. We need to forget a lot of things, change a lot of habits. Okay? We got to put a lot of stuff down and pick up the new stuff that's going to profit us. All right? A lot of stuff is unprofitable in our lives. We have to cancel it, rebuke it, set it down, and learn to walk in new ways, man.
You know, you were just saying how you're not pointing your finger, I was thinking about this morning. How, you know, the Bible says that there's going to be false teachers that come to tickle people's ears.
Ooh,
but I'm telling you, if you're grounded, and you said something else about getting rid of all this stuff. You know, we get rid of all this stuff, but when we get rid of all that stuff, you have to fill it up. You can't leave it empty.
Yes,
if you leave it empty, the devils are coming back. The Bible says seven times worse. So you have to fill yourself up with the Word of God and the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
But what Eddie was saying about pointing fingers, nobody is pointing fingers. We're here. The Bible says that to warn men.
Yeah.
And if you warn men, that their blood's not on your hands. But if you do not warn men, their blood is on your hands. And tickling the ears, what the Lord was showing me this morning is when you realize the goodness of God, your ears can be tickled by the truth. Not the false doctrine, not the false teachers, but God's truth is good. I mean, it's, you know, it's like I said before, being a Christian is not hard. You know, living for the hard. Man, when you live for Jesus Christ, you will have tribulation, but Jesus said that in me you'll have peace. I mean, everyone, that's what we all want is peace.
People will come try to tickle my ears, I'm going to smack them. They ain't getting too far.
You know you've matured whenever the truth tickles your ears.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. There's a truth, and we have to really know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
So help us, God.
Yeah, because if we got a little bit, even a small piece of the truth could be corrupted, it's no good. Okay? We need to know. That's the devil's tactic. So he's not going to come in, like I said, he's going to come in with a deceptive spirit. He's going to think it's something really smooth and godly. A lot of churches, including all of us, if we know better, we're walking in half-truths or false-truths. We're walking in man-made, doctrine and also man-made tradition. We got to really know that. We're going to take a commercial. I don't want to get into all this, but here it is. You just want to know that everything you hear from this show, everything I hear when I'm listening to a video, like, on Facebook or even YouTube, or even with my own pastor, which I trust with all my heart, I'm going to back it up. And it's not because I'm going to be like a detective trying to debunk him. I want to learn more. You can't tell me enough in 30 or 45 minutes about a subject that if it comes in and awakens me, I need more. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like an appetizer. It's like you're going in the Sam's Club, they give you one little piece of something. The lady's like, hey, you want to try this? Okay, and you taste it, go, ooh, and then you go buy a whole bag. That's the way it is with the word. Do we get it a little bit, and then all of a sudden, I wouldn't get the whole bag now. So I'm going to find out the scripture he just told me. Then I'm going into that whole chapter.
And that's what the pastor is to teach. And also, for the new believers, like we were saying, you know, once you're on the bottle, of course you're going to be fed. You know, a baby gets fed with the bottle. But once you get off that milk and you get on the meat, you feed yourself like Laura's grandson.
Yeah, good. Praise the Lord. All right. That's for the, okay, here it is. We're about to take a commercial break. Edwidge Bottiano, good morning. Where are you calling? Watch it from. Let us know. All right. We're about to take commercial, so stay tuned. Blog Radio and Facebook, you know what the commercial is about. All right, so we get music or something? All right, so here it is. We're at the Morning at the Mansion show. Thank you for tuning in.
Don't let me lose the way. I'm going to shout your name, hallelujah. Plan for me.
next Saturday, Cofield Prison. We're going to
Hudson. Let me lose a way. I'm going to shout your name, hallelujah.
Jesus Lord, or didn't follow him. So here it is. So We as believers, remember it says, now that you come to follow Jesus, you know, keep growing in the faith, all right? You know, keep following him. Okay, so as believers, we're entitled to the secrets of the kingdom. They're not really secrets. They're secrets to people who don't know them. Okay, but God revealed it to all his children through Christ Jesus. So here it is. I'm skipping over. So we're permitted to know the kingdom. Now here it says here. Go to verse 14. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. So we are farmers. Okay, we are the farmers. Now that we come to know the secrets of God, we will take the seed to others. Okay, so the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once to take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message, immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long, they fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Now, I'm going to stop there real quick. That, to me, people say it represents 25% of the seed, of whatever, there's four different representations. The soil is your heart. But this one right here, they receive the word with joy, but they don't have deep roots. They fall away. That's what's going on right now.
Yeah,
that's a good portion of it.
And we just talked about how the Bible says in Hebrews that by now you should be teachers.
Yep.
That right there, those people that receive it with gladness and fall away, the church, the mature believers are responsible. I mean, we are to disciple the new believers, and when we don't disciple them, the devil comes and takes it away, and that's why we have to get off the bottle so we can give the bottle to the new believers.
Well, yeah, it's the heart and the bottle, man. Here's the thing: that first one where it says Satan comes in, straight up, Jesus says Satan comes in and takes that seed. It falls by the wayside. It don't even make it into the ground.
Yeah,
you know, somebody says Jesus, and you say, "Oh, okay." Hand you a little gospel tract. Then the first convenience store you see, you get out by a 12 pack, a tall boy, start drinking. You don't care because you were not ready. But the second one, that's most Christians because they lack the knowledge. Okay, they don't get rooted because they don't come to know Jesus personally. They heard of Jesus and we introduced them to Jesus, but now it's up to you to get to know him. I might have introduced you to some girl or some man that you liked, right? But now it's up to you. I can't be a mediator between you and maybe a future wife or husband. You need to get to know that person to develop an intimacy. We will introduce you to Jesus. We'll plant that seed, but now you need to get with the program. So don't even know. So here's the thing we need to know. All right, I'm going to go right into this last verse here. Okay, since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long, they fall away. As soon as they have problems or a persecution for believing God's words, don't let your brothers, your sisters, your buddies, but here's what's going to happen. I've talked to people, even to this day, I've been almost 3 years going into this, and I see people that I used to work with 4 or 5 years ago, and they used to say, oh, you're funny. What do you mean without God? Well, you know, so you got to get right sometimes, and eventually. So here's the thing. Don't believe what people say. Oh, well, you know, man, you've been spending too much time in that Bible. Come on now. We used to go listen to play that dance game on, you know, what is that called? When everyone dances in the TV and they're like, let's dance or some of those video games and all that stuff. Don't be playing those games anymore. You want to get involved in the things of God. So don't get caught up in all this stuff. The good soil, though, it says, and the seed fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word, but these are harvest for the 30, 60, or 100 times.
Yeah, you know, the other soil that we didn't talk about was the one that's sown among thorns.
Okay.
And I believe that is where the majority of the church is. It says that those sown among thorns are the ones that hear the word and the cares of this world,
yeah,
the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in and sow the word. I mean, the distractions that we have in this world are just crazy. All the distractions, and that's what Jesus is talking about right there. Those distractions come in and choke the word of God. See, like you said, the soil is the heart. And when the seed is sown in your heart, You better guard it. The Bible says above all else in Proverbs, guard your heart above all else, because out of it flow issues of life. And in Ezekiel, God said, I will give you a new heart. You know, he takes that heart of stone, because that heart of stone, you can't, the roots can't get in there. It's like that you know, footpath or the, you know, the soil, the roots can't go down. So when God gives you a new heart, a soft and pliable heart, you better guard it more than people guard Fort Knox. I mean, you need to guard it more than anything, because and when you think about how you guard your heart, now please listen to this. This is so important. The distractions of this world are so numerous out there. The way we guard our heart is by what we look at and what we listen to. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Bible also says that there's death and life in the power of the tongue. So what you look at and what you listen to goes into your heart, comes out of your mouth, and it's either death or life. So you guard your heart more than anything, above all else, the Bible says.
Yeah, and here's the thing now. The first one we know is the devil takes. The second two, we're very close to three. But you're right, the wealth of this world, these are the people that I believe that are in the churches right now, sitting there and they're claiming, you know, they're just Sunday morning Christians. They have a form of godliness, but they're not truly denying themselves. They're still living on a, you know, half in, half out. But the fourth seed is the most important seed, because that's the seed we all strive to be. Okay, the soil that accept that seed, that's our heart. And that fourth seed, where it says God's word produces a harvest 36, even 100 times as much as been planted. Don't expect that in the first week that you come to the Lord. This is over a lifetime of walking with the Lord that you would develop these fruits. This is just not an instant thing. Like, we know that. We don't plant a seed and all of a sudden it sprouts and you have plums and pears on the end of the day. This is over the course. See, this seed, this heart, is always going to be producing for God, because you have the knowledge and understanding and you're growing every day. You're constantly watering that seed, okay? You're nurturing it, allowing it to get rooted, and it's going to keep producing even in its old age.
And you know, the heart, the roots, you know, getting into the heart. And you think about, Pastor Eric was talking about this yesterday when he had did a special sermon for the children, and he called all the children up there, and he was telling the parents, you know, don't give the phone to these little kids and use it as a babysitter.
Oh,
I mean, these
man.
Kids are watching video games, violent video games.
Yeah.
Their hearts are hardening. You have to understand this. What you look at is what goes into your heart. So when they're watching these violent video games, their hearts are getting hard, and the seeds are going to have a hard time getting in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing this to your own children. And it's like what Pastor was saying. You use the phone for a babysitter, really.
Oh, yeah.
And you cannot do that. I mean, it's so important that we understand. And what this says about, you know, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and then this next part, the desire for other things.
Yeah.
What we have to understand, especially in our culture, is you cannot be halfway. You have to be all the way. The desire for other things, anything other than the things of God. The Bible says that when any man that's in Christ, when you're born again, if you're born again, it says that all things have become new. The old life is dead. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God.
Yeah.
So if the desire for other things choke the word. And I love what Pastor Eric said one time. You know, instead of letting the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, why don't we let the word of God choke those things out?
Well, yeah, that's part of
that's the only thing that will do it, as a matter of fact.
It's all about denying yourself. If you're not going to deny yourself, then you're going to be one of the second or third seeds, or even the first seed, too. There's only one seed, one soil that produced, and that's the one that constantly gradually keeps moving forward, stays in the word, constantly watering. We don't water a plant once and then come back a month later and expect it to produce. It's going to die.
Right.
You know how to keep watering. This is if you eat three times a day, how many times do you need to feed your spirit? That's on you. That's the question you have to ask yourself. So let me tell you something. The spirit of God is constantly hungry and wants to be fed. It's like a buffet. If you don't come up and show up to the buffet, no one's gonna come fill your plate. You need to get up and walk to the buffet and get as much as you could handle. Same thing with the Word of God. As much as you could take in, He'll keep feeding you, God. So you need to be important. It's important, right? So let's talk about Bobby. You want to read 17?
Sure.
Come on.
Jeremiah 17, starting in verse 5, the Bible says, "Cursed is a man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. But blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaves are green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." We just talked about this. Guard your heart above all else. "Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Jesus said that you will know a tree by its fruit, not by its gifts. And the fruit comes from the root, and the root is Jesus Christ, the root of Jesse. You know, another thing Pastor Eric said yesterday, we were talking about this, and he said that the gifts come from the juice of the fruit. You have to have the fruit. Galatians 5 says, "Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control."
Yep.
Those are the fruits. If you're out there and you're getting words of knowledge and you're speaking in tongues, but you don't have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, you're not. That's, you know, there's a time that people are going to stand in front of Jesus and say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name?" And he's going to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you. You didn't have the fruit of the Spirit." You have to have the fruit.
Come on. You often only get fortunate or medium outside of the love of Christ through you. See, it's all about the love of God. He gave us two commandments. One was to love Jesus, God with all our heart, everything we have, love God. But then the second is to love our neighbor, as we love ourselves. And Jesus said, if you follow those two, you'll cover the law. So the thing is this, without love, we know that. If you're a squeaky wheel or a noisy clang, whatever you want to do, you know, here's the thing, you have to have love and operate in love, but it's not just our love. Our love is foolishness. It's the love of God in us that will propel us to do these things. Because He wants, you know, we're drawn by His love. So we're doing it for Him. Because if we're trying to do it for ourselves, it's not going to happen. Okay, so we're going to buy a Christmas card and say, "You'll be blessed." But no, it's the love of God will take you to the next level. So curses the man who trusts in man. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in. You know, as much as I love Bobby, and I could be lying for things, but my truth and absolute trust in God. I trust in God, but He might say, "Quote Bobby, he's
that's
got
right,
to answer that question."
Right.
Or quote Bobby, he's going to help you with that one. Okay? But we need to not, everyone's trying to bypass God. Don't bypass God. Everything goes, it's like a satellite. It goes up to God, the Jesus to God, and comes back down to us. We can't bypass God. Everything is through a prayer. And to God, God will delegate. Jesus will intercede for
you. You know, it's like with King David. He, it says that he sought the Lord and said, "Hey, should I go up against the Philistines?" And God told him, "Yes, go up against him, and I'll deliver him into your hand."
Yeah.
Well, then the next time he said, "Should I go up against him?" And God said, "No, don't." And he did it a different way. You know, it reminded me. I was reading that one time. It reminded me of how. Defensive coordinator in football. You know, we're in football season now. And a defensive coordinator, let's say an offensive coordinator. An offensive coordinator is not going to run the same exact play every time because the defense will know. If you're going to, it's fifth, third, and six, and you're going to run an out, then and you do it every time, the defense is going to pick it off, and it's going to be a pick six.
Yeah.
And so we have to seek God first. And ask God, what should I do in this situation? If it's in the Bible, He's already told you.
That's right.
But there's certain things, like in the Bible, it doesn't tell you, should I buy this house or should I marry this person? The Bible doesn't tell you that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it will tell you not to be unequally yoked,
yeah,
and things
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Seek the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Jesus said it's better for me to go away because I'm going to send another helper, a comforter, a teacher. And that's what we have to do. God doesn't make it hard on us.
You know,
we just have to seek Him.
The Bible is the playbook. And we need to study more than one place. So if you just study one verse or one chapter, that's lovely. But you need to check out some other chapters and verses, too. So we have to have different places, like Bobby said, that's Bobby. We have to have different places, and we have to know different things. The Bible is it's not a book. It's a library of books. It's 66 separate books. And each one has something in it for you to help you walk in the thing. Because here's what it tells us. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need to have a godly life. Everything. That's 2 Peter 1:3. So there's everything that is in that book that has a godly life. So wherever we're falling short of suffering, wherever we're not sure of anything, God will let us use other people to help us. But the book itself, the Bible, the library of books, is everything in the promises. If you don't know the promises, you don't know what you're entitled to.
Yeah. And you were talking about how, you know, a while ago that we look in the mirror and examine ourselves. The Bible says that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to separate the flesh, the spirit, bone and marrow, and it's able to determine the intents of the heart. So the Bible will show you, if you're really wanting to change, the Word of God will show you where you need to change. It will show you the intents of your heart. And it's just so important.
Here it is. I say this because we were doing a thing over the weekend at Fall Festival. But here it is. I've been studying a lot about it says in the Bible that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Okay? So it's more than a prayer. So I say today to anyone listening and watching, prayer will continue, but it's more than a prayer. You say, Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart. Reveal yourself to me. Ask the Lord to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And anyone watching right now, if you're watching and you're not sure, you say, oh, but I said that prayer 3 years ago, Eddie. But nothing changed. But, you know, they send me a calendar every year. All right, fine. Here's the thing, though. We need to be baptized. We need to be led by the Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit seals us, right? That we know it's like a down payment on our salvation. So you need to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. You need to have the Spirit in you. It's more than just, Jesus has to be inside your heart, and the Holy Spirit has to guide you.
And see, the Holy Spirit, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit when we believe.
Yeah.
But Paul asked, I think it was the disciples in Ephesus, you know, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe?
Yeah.
So there's two separate occasions in that. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and then you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that baptism, the Bible says it's baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and that fire is not for goosebumps, not to act weird. It's to burn up the stuff in you that does not need to be there.
That's right. That fire.
I've got to say this. This is really on my heart. You said it's not about fear.
Yeah. Everybody get up. Yeah. You may be in your car getting ready to go worship, or wherever you may be. I'm just gonna take out this time to talk about my Savior. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't mind, I'm gonna go and praise Him. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We just stepping for Jesus. I see you. Let's go. It's like a gentle breeze, fresh off the ocean seas, pleasant, oh pleasant, sweet like a honeycomb, oh your favorite piece of candy. Something about when I hear that name,
when I hear that name,
my emotions get the best of me, come,
when I hear that name,
people stop and stare, cause I cannot come down. When I hear that name, I lose all self-control. And if you don't mind, I'm just gonna talk about it.
Something about the name.
Something about the name.
Something about the name that we call Jesus.
Sounds so good, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Something about the name.
Something about the name.
by my Savior. It's like a smell of sweet perfume.
Like sweet perfume. Just like sweet perfume.
Your name could light the darkest of rooms.
Darkest room. I know he could.
Know he could.
When I hear that name,
my emotions get the best of me.
When I hear that name,
people stop and stare, but I don't care. He's my shield, my hiding place, a joy in which I can refrain from dancing. Thousand tongues would not be enough to tell.
I'm amazed.
Oh, something
about the name,
all the world about
Jesus.
Praise on down. They say the praises go up. Blessings come down. The praises go up. Anybody out there that understands what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
Hey, said it's something
about that name.
Something about that name.
Something about that name.
It's the mentioning of the name.
Something about that name.
There is healing. Power.
Something about that name.
Shelter.
About that name.
Oh, it's something.
Something.
Let's take it on home.
Said it's something.
About that name.
About that name.
Hey, I love y'all so much.
We're on.